glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
We are glad you're here. Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, March 10th. I'm Tim Nelson, Operations Manager for Great News Media, and coming to you from the WLUJ studios on Mason Street in Springfield. Well, there is so much that fills my mind that can be overwhelming if I let it consume me. Much of it is good, along with some stuff that's not so good. The biggest part of the struggle is in trying to keep everything balanced and remain focused on what matters most, right here and right now, in the moment like God would want me to do. Yesterday morning, I read how Moses encouraged Joshua, who God ordained for such a time, to take his people across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. Here's what he said: "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." That's from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Know that you can bank on these words today as you follow hard after God for His glory and your good.
Won't always go the way that I plan. There'll be some stuff that I won't understand. I'm gonna stumble every now and again, but I know when I fall and I'm falling into your hands. I know you're holding everything that I see. You're sovereign over all my anxieties. You give me comfort like nobody else could, and I know you're working everything for my good. Every trial, every heartache, every letdown, you're raising it up for my good. Every season, every new day, every moment, you're making a way for my good. Oh, you're making a way for my good. Sometimes it's hard to live the things I believe. Sometimes my doubts do get the best of me, yeah. These days I struggle to trust like I should. Still I know you're working everything for my good. Every trial, every heartache, every letdown, you're raising it up for my good. Every season, every new day, every moment, you're making a way for my good. Lord, you are the great I am. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow in his hands. Why would I worry? Lord, you are the great I am. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know.
This is Mark and Friends from Great News Media. If you're a regular WLUJ listener in the Springfield area, you're probably familiar with Donna Leland, who will often talk about Joyce Mankey, our office manager, and her great gardening ability, how she's got a green thumb, to say the least. And I know Donna appreciates so much more than just the gardening ability of Joyce, but also her wisdom as well. How are you, Joyce?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yeah, gardening is one of my big things, and I've already started planting the seeds inside, and putting them by the east side window where the sun can shine in, and hope to see them coming up soon.
I know everything I know about gardening comes from you or my wife. I know absolutely nothing about gardening. So tell us what's going on right now.
Well, I got a call this week from Patty from listening to our radio ministry from times back when we were talking about gardening and hearing Donna talk about it. And, you know, I really don't know that I have that much of a green thumb so much as our garden did so well last year because my daughter had sold all of her cattle that she was raising and using for food when we would butcher the cows and so forth. And so we had our own fertilized patch because that's where we put the garden, was in the pasture that used to be for the cows. And so that's why we had so big of a garden last year that worked out so well. But other than the one that was planted by my house that looked like Jack and the Beanstalk, I don't have an answer for that.
I remember that. Yeah, that was kind of crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really crazy, and had a lot of tomatoes last year with that.
You've got a story you kind of want to pass along to listeners this morning here in our first segment.
Well, I do. And, you know, we've heard Mark talk about the scripture verse over several times, actually, about draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. It's found in James 4:8. And, you know, there's times when we get so busy with our life and our gardening and family and whatever, our schedules, till sometimes God just seems so far away. And it's harder, we feel like, maybe to connect. And it reminded me of a story that I heard of this old couple that was driving down the road. And the older man, he was in the driver's seat of the car. His wife was in the passenger seat. And the woman started reminiscing about the younger days. And she said, "Dear, do you remember the time when we'd be driving down the road and you'd always put your arm around me and we'd sit close together? Why don't you do that anymore?" The old man said, "Yes, I do remember that, but I wasn't the one that moved." Mm-hmm. And so I thought that really, it had an impact on me because he's sitting at the driver's seat. He couldn't move. And it's that way with God, Tim, that he's not moved. Sometimes it's us that just moves away with our schedules and puts other things before God. And, you know, we take him to church with us and include him in our Sunday meetings, and sometimes we kind of squeeze him in the weekend or through the week, and we lose touch with the reality that God should be in our life every day. And I thought that story just kind of was fun to think about how it relates to the same scripture verse, you know.
Yeah, it does make you think about that, doesn't it? Do you ever find, like I do, Joyce, where, you know, once in a while, not that you're ever going to arrive, but you think, you know, the prayer life is intact very well. I'm kind of, you know, going in a way that seems right, a little more engaged with God, the scripture readings there. And then all of a sudden it starts to get crowded out with the pace of society, just to crowd out those important things that we know they're important. We've made them a priority. But as the scripture says, Satan is there to steal, kill, and destroy what God has planted in us.
Absolutely. And there's so many times with our busy schedules we think, you know, I need to do my Bible reading and prayer, but I need to do this first. Let me do this first, and then something else will come up, and you say, "Well, let me do this," and then before you know, the day's gone. So what I have done the last several months is just to make him first completely and read several chapters in the morning and pray, and then that starts my day, and I don't, you know, have that problem of putting everything else first if I just make him first.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. help me know you are near.
Mark and Friends continues on this Thursday morning with Tim Nelson and Office Manager Joyce Mankey. Joyce, I know you want to share about something that God's put on your heart concerning the still small voice.
Well, I do. You know, the other day I was cleaning out my bookcase, and I've always tried to take my extra books to the Love Packages, who collects Bibles and need them so desperately to send overseas to the other countries that are so limited with what they have. And I picked up the Bible and this particular one, and I opened it up, and I wanted to make sure I didn't have anything in it of notes of importance and stuff. And I dropped it on the floor, and it fell open to this particular passage of Elijah. And I just thought it really spoke to me. I picked it up and started reading it, and I'm thinking this would be a great time to just talk about that still small voice. You know, Elijah was one of the most outstanding prophets of the Old Testament. And yet, he was an ordinary and an extraordinary person. James says that he was a man just like us. So he had his high moments, but he also had his low moments. And just going to touch through a couple of these things with Elijah that God had called him to do. And then we'll get to the still small voice. But the atmosphere in his day was spiritual degeneration, and we can all relate to that because that's what the atmosphere in our day is like. Mm-hmm. People's hearts were open to demonic worship and the worship of Baal, and God was getting ready to bring judgment on the nation of Israel. And he tells Elijah to go and tell Ahab, the king, that there'd be no rain for 3 years. Well, when he did this, Ahab becomes so infuriated with Elijah that he threatens his life, and the Lord tells him to leave and go to the brook east of the Jordan River. And he said that he'd be drinking water from the brook and the ravens would feed him. So, you know, he calls him to a service to perform one of the most miracles of all the Old Testament. And then he ends up in the brook, feeding from the brook, the water from the brook, and then feeding with the ravens for 3 years, actually. And it brought back a lot of things to me, like sometimes we feel when God calls us and we want to do this job, we know God has called us, but then we have all these setbacks and we don't understand, but God has to prepare us to do the things that he's called us to do. And he lived in solitude. He walked in obedience during this time, and God provided for him and protected him. But then toward the end of the 3 years, the brooks dried up. So just imagine yourself, you know, you're trying to do a job and you've gone and said, yes, Lord, and you're doing what the Lord calls you to do, but then you can't do anything for 3 years because you're in hiding. And then the brooks dries up, and if you can think of things that might happen, like loss of a job, or financial problems, loss of a loved one, these sudden changes will catapult us into something brand new and different, and sometimes bigger things that God wants us to do than what was originally planned. But God is preparing us, and he prepared Elijah. After the third year, he asked Elijah to go back and present himself to Ahab. And this was during the time that the famine was at its worst, and Ahab was at its height in anger. And you remember the story of how he called Elijah to perform the miracles there, issuing a challenge to Ahab and told him to gather all the prophets of Baal together. In fact, he said, gather the whole nation together. And let's go to the top of Mount Carmel, and in front of the crowd of witnesses, they would each pray to their God and ask for fire to come down from heaven and burn the sacrifice that was on the altar. And whoever God, you know, set down fire and consumed the sacrifice in the altar would be the God that was the real God. And so the prophets of Baal prayed. You know the story. They prayed, they cut themselves, they cried for hours, and nothing happened. Then the power of God came down when Elijah prayed, and fire consumed and the sacrifice on the altar and dried up the water. And so they realized that our God is the real, true God. And so after all of this was done and the prophets were all slain, the prophets of Baal, and they feel the sound or hear the sound of rain coming, then Ahab tells Jezebel all that has happened, and she's out to kill Elijah, so he has to run for his life again. And so as he's running for his life, he goes into a cave, and he travels actually 40 days and nights and to the mountain of God at Mount Horeb, and there he goes in a cave, and God says, what are you doing here? He starts giving his little sob story then, so you can tell he's depressed. He prays to die. And he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. And the Lord said, go, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord is going to pass by. So all of this happening reminds me of our life today. We go through the ups and downs. We go through the mountaintops where you see the power of God and you know God is working. And then you fall into the valley when you really need help. But then God is molding you and making you into his image so that you can really be what he's refining us like silver. Elijah goes up on the mountaintop then, and after he'd seen God work in such a powerful way, he was probably expecting God to do it again. So when the wind came and blew and it broke the rocks in pieces, and God was not in the wind. And then an earthquake came, and God was not in the earthquake, and then the fire. God was not in them, but he was in the still, small voice. So God was showing Elijah that the work of God doesn't always have to be dramatic. It doesn't always have to be a big revelation that God can present his voice to you in the very still, small voice and call you as we hear him speak to us today, because the gospel presents the gentle voice of love, grace, and mercy, and most of all, the free gift of salvation. We are a lot like Elijah as far as things we've gone through.
Yeah, I think so, too. That is so relatable. I find myself at times praying to God for understanding, and it's not always best that I understand. I just need to keep trusting. That's the bottom
right.
line, you know.
And sometimes God doesn't reveal everything to us. Then
right.
we'd be walking by our own strength.
Yes.
And we don't want to do that. We want to walk by God leading us and guiding us and having the faith that he's directing us in the right way.
That's WLUJ Office Manager Joyce Mankey. I'm Tim Nelson. Thank you for listening to Mark and Friends for this Thursday, the 10th of March. And we invite you back here tomorrow to join Mark in studio with Pastor Jason Schiffo for the Friday edition of the program at 7:32 a.m. and p.m. Illinois time from Great News Media.
The Jordan is waiting for me to cross through. My heart is aching, I can't tell. So Lord, I'm begging for one last favor from you. Here's my heart, take it where you will. This life has shown me how we're mended and how we're torn. How it's okay to be lonely as long as you're free. Sometimes my ground was stony, sometimes covered up with thorns. And only you can make it what it had to be. And now that it's done, when I leave I'm gonna go out like Elijah. Oh,